2 Kings chapter 5, the word of God. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord gave victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians were on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the people who is in, with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? He actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean.'" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take this word that we have read and its truth and sear it to our hearts, apply it to our lives, remind us of your sovereign power, your great grace, and your wonderful love that you demonstrated not only in the days of Elisha and Naaman, but as you have done in ours as well, that we might rejoice in the God that we worship, and that we might glorify you all the more. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, on the throne of Syria was Ben-Hadad, the king who had commanded the army in the battle in which King Ahab was felled by an arrow. And this is the army that was the strongest in its day. And among this army was one of the most trusted servants of the king of Syria. And that is Naaman, the character in the story that is before us today. He was one of the most important people in the Middle East in those days, commander-in-chief of the Syrian army. When you think of that today, we don't see a lot of army people on television anymore. Remember seeing Norman Schwarzkopf alive many years ago. He was on television, and we would know, oh, yep, he's the guy, he's in charge. Some may even remember seeing an Eisenhower, but that takes us a little far back. But we understand that the general, who is the highest commander in the army, is an important individual. He was celebrated for his battleground victories. He was held in high esteem by the king, his lord. But there was one problem that Naaman had. He had the problem of leprosy. Stop for a moment. Think about that. Everything that you could possibly want, everything that you could possibly have, you would have if you were Naaman, if you were the commander-in-chief of the armies of the Syrians. What a great job it had. I mean, you would have more than Dr. Fauci has. Everybody knows him. Wouldn't that be just great? But this guy, the scripture tells us, he has leprosy. You remember what leprosy was like? It was horrible. It was disfiguring. It crippled your life. You would not be able to live among the people in Israel. You would be an outcast in Israel with leprosy. And this is what happens to Naaman. He has leprosy. But notice in the passage that this leper, Naaman, has in his employ a little girl, verse 3 tells us, from the land of Israel. Obviously must have captured her, must have captured a lot of people. You know, here's a whole bunch of people, and here's this little girl. What do we do with her? I know what I'll do with her. She can work for my wife, take care of the clothes, do the laundry, take care of all of these things. But this little girl, by the sovereignty of God, is placed where? In Naaman's home, a leper's home. And what does this little girl do? Does she sit around rejoicing and say, oh, my master's husband has leprosy? Tough luck. Too bad. No. She says this to her mistress, verse 3. Would that my lord, that is Naaman, were with the prophet who is in Samaria. What would he be able to do? He would cure him of his leprosy. Sovereignly placed by God in that home is this messenger of the Lord, a little girl who gives Naaman the leper the answer that he needs. So Naaman takes that message and he goes in and tells his lord. Who does he go and see? He goes to see King Ben-Hadad. And Ben-Hadad thinks so highly of Naaman the leper that he says, with this message from the little girl, I'll tell you what, I'll send you to Israel so that you can go and get cured. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a letter. And he writes a letter, and he takes with that letter, verse 5 tells us, a lot of things. I was reading this earlier, and I looked at this, and I thought, man, this guy is loaded. 10 talents of silver. Now, silver was pretty valuable, and I was supposed 10 talents would be a lot. But then 6,000 shekels of gold. I would imagine gold was pretty valuable even in Naaman's day. But 6,000 shekels of gold, that's a lot of gold. And 10 changes of clothing. And he brought this all to the king of Israel, Jehoram. And he says with the letter, cure me of my leprosy. Whoa. Think of King Jehoram for a moment. What is this guy going to do when he's confronted by a guy who comes to him with 6,000 shekels of gold, talents of silver, changes of clothing, lots and lots of stuff, but then he lays down the letter that says, cure him of leprosy. I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that would get a letter like that that wouldn't be shaking in his boots if it came from someone like the king of Syria. And he goes, all this guy is trying to do is start a quarrel with me. He's trying to start a war with us. What a struggle this was. But then we find that Elisha comes into the picture because he hears that the man of God hears that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. And Elisha says to King Jehoram, he says, send him to me. Why? So that he may know there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 8 tells us, so Naaman came with horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Can you imagine that? Horses and chariots coming up to your house? Where do you live? You know, do you have enough room for horses and chariots? His horses, his chariots, his army, all pulling up in the front yard. Whoa! And he pulls up into the front yard, and Elisha sends a message to him. Doesn't even say that Elisha went out and talked to him. Elisha sends him a message that says, go and wash in the Jordan and you'll be clean. And that brings us to the point where Naaman becomes angry and he goes away saying, I thought he would come out. He didn't even come out. He sent me a message. What kind of a guy is this? I thought he would come out and he would stand here and he would put his hands up in the air, you know, run them around in a circle and cure me of my leprosy. Nope, nothing like that happens. He tells me to go and wash in a river. And a river in Israel. Aren't the rivers in my own land of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? A little pride there. Nope. Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and he went away in a rage. This is quite the story. This is quite the story. Let's go back for a moment and think about this raid into Israel. The bands of Syrians had captured this little girl who we looked at a moment ago. She became Naaman's slave. But by God's grace, what does she say? I know the prophet would heal him. This girl had an amazing, amazing ability to recognize the power of the word of God. And she's spreading this message of the grace of God that was in Israel. If he would only go to the prophet there, he would be healed. She spoke of the grace of God that was in Israel for the sake of Christ. And so with the blessing of the king, Naaman goes to Israel. First, he goes to the king, who has authority over the prophet. And then he goes to the prophet and he comes to his doorstep with chariots and with horses. And things don't go the way Naaman expected. One of Elisha's servants comes out with a message. And he tells him, wash 7 times in the Jordan River. And he promises that he will be cured. And that's it. And that was the cause for Naaman to become enraged. Notice it says he turned away in a rage. What was it that robbed Naaman of the blessing at this point? It was his offended pride. He came with high expectations. What were his expectations? So the prophet will come out. You know, he's the Joel Osteen of his day. He's going to come out with a great entourage, and he's going to meet me with my horses and chariots, and he's going to circle his hands in the air and say a few words and heal me, because he at least believed that the prophet could heal him. But he receives what he considered to be an insufferable insult. He was a great man. He had everything that you could want to provide happiness, rank, glory, wealth, remember the shekels of gold, remember all of the silver. He had it all. Influence with the king of Syria, his boss. But he was a prideful man. His situation should have humbled him. His leprosy should have made him conscious of what? His complete and his absolute dependence upon Almighty God, but his offended pride and his situation caused him to leave in rage. He was disappointed. He had a disappointed expectation. He wanted it to magically disappear. That throws a great light upon the innumerable occasions of offense that are taken, even among good people. We tell ourselves the way in which we think others ought to act, and when they don't answer our expectations, we are offended. The prophet didn't meet his expectation, and he was offended. He had mistaken beliefs about who the prophet was and about who God was, how God should act, and he left in a rage. His belief was not in the word of the Almighty God. His emphasis was not belief in the ultimate sovereignty of God, because he concluded that washing in a river in his own country was just as good as the one in Israel, and if not better, my own country. He did not agree simply with the word of God and the means that God chooses to provide the miracle of his grace. Naaman turns away in unbelief because he had not yet come to the sovereignty of God in his understanding and in his life. But in spite of Naaman's unbelief, what does God do? God provides this Syrian with the gift of his grace. Jesus tells us the same thing in Luke chapter 4. He says, many in Israel were with leprosy in the time of Elisha. Stop and think about that for a moment. There were lepers all over Israel, apparently. Jesus tells us that. Many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha. But what happens in this passage? In this passage, it tells us that God had grace, not upon an Israelite, but upon what? A Gentile. Naaman the Syrian was the only leper that we hear is healed in the day of Elisha, because in this case, God is bringing his grace upon the Gentile, upon the Syrian, upon Naaman. And Naaman receives this miracle of healing by free and sovereign grace. This was an act of God's goodness and his mercy. This is God's expression of grace to Naaman, an expression of that scriptural statement where God says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. Naaman is healed by divine grace. The gospel reaches Naaman. It is first declared to him by his own servant girl. Remember the girl, the servant of his wife? When the occasion came for her to speak, she spoke for God. Why? Because she was convinced of the power of God to deliver her master from this horrible fate of leprosy. Who can heal leprosy? God can. He can do the impossible according to Scripture. To us, it's impossible, but not with God. She declared the God of Israel to be Naaman's only hope. And in a simple but earnest manner, she proclaimed the good news that there was salvation even for a leper. And in this passage, we need to be reminded that not only is that true, but it's true because God has a servant in this passage by the name of Elisha, whose name itself means salvation of God. Naaman is healed by this powerful, powerful word of the Lord. And this girl, appointed by God, was able to bring that message to Naaman, and he is healed as a result of going to Israel and being healed by the power of God. God has his purpose in placing this girl in this situation. And It's because God has his purposes, as the scripture says. He has determined the times beforehand and the bounds of our habitation. The scripture tells us that God predestinates these things so that he might accomplish his will. And his will was to do what? To give Naaman the gift of grace, healing, and strength. How does Naaman receive that? Well, at first he's blinded to it. The reception is met with the fact that he doesn't understand grace. That grace was too free. It is something he couldn't understand that it would happen. His unbelief could not understand how sins are cleansed, and unbelief does not understand how sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. The king of Syria thought that the king of Israel could heal. He sends a letter telling him to do so. He doesn't understand the word of the Lord. King Jehoram misses the boat. He too does not understand. He had forgotten that Elisha, the prophet, was the prophet in the land. And he had a holy embarrassment at the request of the Syrian king. He is dishonorable to God and unbelieving as well. And we similarly dishonor God in things in our own lives. We sink down with unbelief. We discredit the cause of God. Or sometimes, like the slave girl, we are ready to show forth the salvation and the loving kindness of God. We ought to be reproached for the gospel rather than bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. This gift is free. It came by sovereign grace. He couldn't buy it. He couldn't pay for it. As much silver and gold and clothes that he took was not enough. He could not afford what God would give freely. This is the free gift of God, healing. And that gift comes by grace. It was too humiliating for him. Elisha's servant greeted this dignitary with a message. The procedure was to wash in the Jordan. There was nothing else Naaman could do that would affect a cure. You know, there wasn't any process. There wasn't any salve or ointment. There wasn't any pill that he could take. The only thing that he could do was that which he failed to see. And that was to obey God. There was no favor that he could do. There was no gift that he could bring. Naaman could only receive this gift by the righteousness of God that comes by faith. It was too insulting to him to do this in the River Jordan, the Israelite river. It's not a Syrian river. He burned with anger as a result of it. It didn't meet his expectations. His words betray his disposition. Notice verse 11 says, I thought. That was the whole problem, wasn't it? I thought. He substituted what? His own ideas of God for God's revelation to him. To him, at this point, God is no more than a paper doll cut out of his own imagination. And so he turns away in a rage, and he turns away in anger. But it was then that God acted. Not against him, not judging him, but God acted for him. So that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sovereign mercy had ordained him to become a vessel of honor for all eternity. And the word of the Lord comes to Naaman and causes him to learn that each of us must enter the kingdom of God. How? As a little child. Naaman could be healed that he might know that there is a God in Israel. God would heal him. God would save him so that he may know his grace, and that he may know that that grace will come to both Jew and Gentile and to all who call upon the mercy of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we might live. The message of this passage is clear. The message is this, simply that healing and salvation are from God and they come to us as divine gifts. We need to remember that in our lives as well. These are the gifts of grace that come to us, sovereign grace, redeeming grace, that brings us into the kingdom of God's Son, who loved us and came into this world to die in our place. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray.